Well, we come to our next installment on the fruit of the Spirit, and that is patience. Let me read from verse 13 down through 26 of Galatians 5 to keep verse 22 in a bit of context. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Some of the greatest missionaries in history devoutly and devotedly spent years sometimes spreading the seed of God's word, but yet they had to wait and wait before they saw any fruits to their efforors. William Carey, for example, labored 7 years till he saw one Hindu convert in Burma. Adoniram Judson, another 7 years before his preaching was rewarded. In Western Africa, it was 14 years before one convert was received into the church. In New Zealand, 9 years. In Tahiti, 16 years before the first harvest began. Most of us would have given up and gone home in the light of such minimal productivity. We'd have thought, this just isn't happening, and we'd give up on it. The Christian mystic of a few centuries ago, Thomas A. Kempis, described patience in these words: he deserves not the name of patient who is only willing to suffer as much as he thinks proper and for whom he pleases. The truly patient man asks nothing from whom he suffers, whether his superior, his equal, or his inferior, but from whomever or how much or how often wrong is done to him, he accepts it all as from the hand of God and counts it gain. Now, the patience that A. Kempis speaks of in is of a different sort than we generally experience in a day's time. He speaks of patience that comes from a work of the Spirit of God. We don't possess it naturally. I mean, just watch a baby. How much patience do you see? Not very much. We have to teach it to them. They have to be trained. So we need to learn it, even to live together as civilized people. If every one of us acted out in rash violence every time we felt a twinge of impatience, civilization would be impossible. We have to be able to wait for one another. We have to be able to learn to some degree to wait to get what we want rather than it's got to be right now kind of thing. But this fruit of the Spirit goes beyond just this civil lifestyle. It is, in fact, supernatural. We all need to grow in it, some more than others. But it's hard because it goes against the grain of everything we are in our natural sinful selves. In our flesh, we want to have life our way according to our own time. Always. But it never works out, does it? Doesn't quite happen that way. So let's look at some of the challenges we face regarding patience. I've got to remember to stay in close here because we're Step over here, you can't hear me. A few of these outline points I've borrowed from Jerry Bridges in his book, The Fruitful Life. Excellent book, by the way. I'd recommend it to you. But he points out that tolerating shortcomings requires patience from us. Now, this is dealing with the frailty of humanity. It's not intentional. It's not the out-to-get-you kind of stuff. It's the spilled milk of life. It's the slow poke in the road or the store aisle when you're in a hurry. The forgetfulness of someone that was going to do something for you that was extremely important, but they forgot. It's dealing with the old war veteran whose shaky hand made a mess on your tray at the fast food store. These things are not sin in and of themselves, but it points up the frailty, points up the brokenness of the world that we live in. It's your conversation with the computer tech somewhere else in the world whose English is barely understandable to you. We get frustrated. We don't find the patience to deal with that. Or it's the kid who 5 miles into an 8-hour trip really has to go to the bathroom. And you're saying, why didn't you go? It's not sin on their part. But it frustrates us. We become impatient with it, don't we? They're shortcomings of finite people. It's dealing with the finiteness of stuff also. And we've all experienced this. The computer program that doesn't work the way it said it would. Your car that just got fixed is broken down again. It's the general brokenness of the world we live in. Stuff just doesn't hold up. Things deteriorate. Our bodies are deteriorating. You younger folks may not identify. Trust me, I do. My body's deteriorating. I can't do the things I used to do. And some of the things I can do, I can't do without some painful repercussions often. Stuff wears out, so do our bodies. How do we deal with these kinds of things? Do we face them patiently? Now, parents have a real challenge here, too. Our kids are sinners, we recognize that, but they're also young, they're inefficient, and they're inexperienced. As they grow, they need to learn all sorts of things, but in that process of learning, they make all kinds of accidents. It's not that they're necessarily in rebellion or trying to disrespect us. It's the way life is. They can't do for themselves perfectly. We need patience as parents. And I'd venture to say we need more patience than we think we do. We need the Spirit of God to blast us with a good dose of patience when we deal with our children and really with a whole host of other people as well. Now, how about handling tastes and habits and that sort of thing? There's all sorts of things out there in the world that we don't like, things that we would rather not see or things we'd rather not experience. There are things that that others really like that we hate or that we don't understand. How do you do with patience when the car next to you at the light has such a powerful thumping bass it almost causes heart palpitations? Do you like that? Do you deal with that patiently? I don't. I want to get out of there as soon as I can. Or how about the guy who's committed himself to a one-armed lifestyle because the other one has to go around holding up his pants? Are you patient with that? Or does that frustrate you? And you'd like to go up and just tell him off a good one. Regardless of what you think about the illegal alien problem here in this country, wouldn't we have a different attitude toward the alien if we saw their presence here as God bringing these people to our doorstep? We must not let impatience with cultural habits of others get in the way of seeing those folks as created in the image of God and in need of Christ. Something's wrong with us if we're more concerned about sending them back where they belong than witnessing to them of the grace of Christ. At least while they're here. It's an opportunity that we would have to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to have in order to go where they came from. how we need the Spirit to generate patience in us regarding others who are different than we are. We just don't have much patience with it. Well, how about dealing with sin? Well, that's tough too. We don't really like that very much at all. In this broken world, we will be sinned against probably every day. And we have a number of responses that are appropriate. We can overlook it, we can confront it, or you can even turn somebody into the authorities. That's what they're there for, to enforce laws and that sort of thing. But what good will impatience with it do? Will that help solve any problems? It will merely draw out of you your own sinful response to that sin that came against you, and then you got two of you in trouble. There's no value in that. How many times have you been caught up in that kind of mess? That someone sinned against you, you're impatient with it, you blast it or something like that, and then it goes back and forth, and pretty soon you got World War III on your hands. It's just not helpful. It doesn't solve anything. Now, there are other times when someone sins against you, but it's actually an intentional provocation. They're trying to get your goat in one way or another. They want to upset you or rattle your cage. Now, it may come out of vengeance, it may come out of jealousy, or it may come simply as a desire to test your profession. Is this guy made up of everything that he says he's made up of? Seems to me in these times it's especially important to be patient. It's a good way to show the reality of your faith and the Spirit's present in your life when you hold up under those kinds of conditions. But it's hard. It's very hard. But crucially important. In these situations, everything in our natural selves wants vengeance or wants to hold a grudge. In that condition, we love to be impatient. Nothing is going to be tolerated from that guy. Matter of fact, we get offended even when the guy tries to do something good and we negate it. We're so bent on being impatient. If you examine your own life and the way that you, me, that we tend to fail at really trifles, how do you expect we will ever patiently stand in the face of real aggressive hatred, persecution, and that sort of thing? Doesn't seem like we'd do very well, that we'd be lashing out all over the place unless we get patience in line where it needs to be. So we really do need to grow here. Open your heart to the work of the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God to pour out on us and in us His great work to make us patient, even in the face of intentional provocation. Would you ever get impatient with yourself, with the difficulty you have with overcoming bad habits? Now, we certainly don't want to be complacent here. You don't want to be complacent about your own sin. But giving real diligence about it is what's called for. But how does an impatient rant about yourself or your habits accomplish anything? Exercising impatience will not help in the battle against a besetting sin. Prayer, the Word, sacraments, Christian fellowship, good counsel from a friend will help strengthen you, but impatience won't get you anywhere. So rather than sighing and falling into despondency about it or going on a rant at yourself, use the means of grace. Use those things that God has given us for our strengthening. Be diligent and still be patient at the same time, even with your failure. Well, finally, waiting on God is especially tough. We tend to think more often than we care to admit that the world really should run on our timetable, but it just doesn't. It really doesn't. Even when you're in charge, you can't always make things happen according to your own schedule. You all know that. This frustrates us. It tempts us to be impatient, and it's just downright hard. We need this great work of God in us to help us with patience, even with God himself. Kids, let me talk to you. And again, I'm going to stay up here because this mic's working, all right, instead of coming down to talk to you. Waiting is hard, isn't it? If you want something and you want it really bad, it's hard to wait. Do you ever go sneaking around the house around Christmas time trying to see what the presents are? Do you ever do that? Maybe your parents have such a good hiding place you can never find them, but lots of kids do that because they're impatient. They want to know ahead of time. Now, when you get older, you have to wait for certain things to happen, things that you can't make happen on your own. Some of these things that you'll have to wait on, let's say you ordered something from a company out there, but you have to wait for it to come to your house. The postman has to bring it. And every day he says, did it come? No. Did it come? No. Finally it comes. But it's hard to wait, isn't it? Sometimes we have to wait for something to be made. Whatever it might be. Someone's making something or fixing something for you, and you just have to wait till it's done. Were you ever in the house when your mom is baking a cake and you smell it and you want some right then, but you have to wait till it's done, until it cools? Waiting is hard. Why is it hard? Because we want what we want, and we want it right now. You know what? That's just not something that you fight with as young folks. I still do, and I'm an old guy. I still don't like to wait on stuff because it's hard. So we need, all of us need to learn patience. But what's really important when you're young, if you learn patience when you're young, then it's easier for you when you're old. If you never learned patience when you were young, it's really hard when you get old. So learn it now. Ask God to give you patience. Ask that His Holy Spirit inside of you would make you a patient person. And then always remember how much God was patient with you. And that might help you grow along that line. Well, in the tension of what we want and demand, what actually transpires, according to the providence of God, we are often impatient. You know, this is what we want, but yet God's providence is slowly working over here. It's in that tension that we find ourselves struggling with impatience. But you know what? All of our impatiences, my impatience with the guy in the car in front of me, is not removed from that category. It's ultimately impatience with God. Do we not confess that we believe that in His providence, God is in sovereign control of everything? So that guy going slowly in front of me is there by God's appointment. And I'm behind him, not by accident, but by God's appointment. So if I'm impatient with him, I'm impatient with him. There's no way of getting away from that. We're critical of God and His providence. How arrogant, how you can barely even come up with a category. Know-nothings like us, even the brightest among us, compared to the wisdom of God, is barely a speck of sand on the seashore, but yet we want to holler and boast and rail on God for the way that He runs things. Absolutely inappropriate. Now we find numerous, I mean many, many examples throughout the Scripture of when people became impatient with what we perceive as God's slowness in working, and they run ahead and they make a mess of things because they were unwilling to wait on Him. Remember that long study in 1 Samuel we just finished? How many times just in the life of Saul did he make a mess by running ahead and not waiting on God? Another good example, the whole deal with Abraham and Hagar. What a mess that became. But he wouldn't or didn't wait on God, thought he would try a different idea, and it just didn't work. How many times have you made a snap decision without considering what God might want in that situation? Or never even crossed your mind to think about it biblically or to pray? Bridges, in that book I mentioned earlier, has a wonderful exhortation for us on this. He says, and it's a lengthy quote, it's in the tan sheet there if you want to follow along. "The cure for impatience with the fulfillment of God's timetable is to believe His promises, obey His will, and leave the results to Him. So often when God's timetable stretches into years, we become discouraged to give up. I think of a desire of mine that I thought God would soon fulfill. When several years went by, I virtually gave up. But in the seventh year, God answered that prayer. I think of another answer to prayer that has occurred just recently. I have been praying for that request for so many years that when the answer finally came, I felt it was too good to be true. I think of still another God-given desire that I prayed over for some 13 years before God answered. But when He did, the answer came in abundant measure. Yet in spite of these long-awaited answers to prayer, I still struggle with impatience over God's timetable. I still want to give up or try to work something out on my own. I need to take to heart this admonition of the writer of Hebrews. We do not want you to become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. If you struggle, as I do, with the patience of waiting, that might be a good verse for you to memorize and meditate over in the months ahead." Good admonition. But notice he said that we should believe, obey, and leave the results to God. We can't create our own results. And that's true in every aspect of life. The old songwriter put it well when he said that to trust and obey, there is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. So we put our trust in Him, we work at obeying Him, and then He takes the results wherever He wants to go. We will never have patience as a fruit of the Spirit unless our faith and confidence and hope are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is foundational. We can't get away from that notion of trust. Why should we be patient? Well, there's a number of reasons. But one would be that we have the great example of the patience of God. God has been patient with us. Notice what Paul says in Romans 2:4. "Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance?" God has already been patient toward us. That says that we too should be patient. He's been kind, He's been patient, long-suffering, gracious. He delivered up His own Son to deliver us, to redeem us. That's reason enough to be patient with one another, but especially with God. The second reason is that Christ sent His Spirit into every believer, and the fruit of the Spirit is patience. If you have the Spirit, you should long for this attribute to be part of your life as well. Keep your faith and hope firmly in Christ, in His life and death and resurrection for you. Therein your status with God is established through Christ and what He has done. Add to that commitment to believe that the Spirit is in you and He wants to develop patience in you. How often does that thought actually cross your mind in a week's time? I got the Spirit in me and the Spirit wants to be patient. Does that connect with you at all? It'd be rare in my case that actually comes across my mind. That needs to be like a big neon light flashing to us all the time. The Spirit is in me and the Spirit wants me to be patient. So pray for His work. Pray for His work to have control over you. Ask for it daily. Pray that you would be submissive to His Spirit relative to patience. And when you see yourself as impatient, flee back to your Savior who's already been patient with you. He endured in great long-suffering your sin and rebellion, loved you beyond what you were able to do, and accomplished redemption for you in His own body on a cross. He gave patience like we never will be able to. But He was patient with you. So flee back to Him. If you're His, He's not going to turn his face away from you in disgust because of your impatience. He will welcome you. He will be patient yet again. And he will grant you that forgiveness that you so need. So acknowledge yet again his infinite patience with you. We have before us here a symbolic meal, a meal which declares to us loud and clear the patience of God. Let's gather.